Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks for listening. Good show today. We have Ernie Johnson from Inside the NBA, the legendary Inside the NBA. And, of course, he's doing the studio show for Turner during the MLB playoffs. Ernie takes us through some Inside the NBA stuff, talks about the show being so iconic, Chuck, Kenny, Shaq, and it was 4 years ago at this time when Ernie caused a little stir by talking about the election. We discussed that as well, since we're less than 3 weeks away from the election. So Ernie Johnson is the guest on this episode. If you missed past episodes of the SI Media Podcast, we had James Andrew Miller on last week to talk about TV ratings and ESPN NFL contracts and some sports media news. Al Michaels 2 weeks ago, Dan Patrick 3 weeks ago, Kevin Harlan 4 weeks ago, all in the archives if you've missed them. So listen and subscribe. All right, let's get to Ernie Johnson on this episode of the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, first time I've had him on since hosting the SI Media Podcast, one of the best in the business. I don't know why it's taken this long. He's the host of Inside the NBA, the best studio show of all time, and he is anchoring Turner's coverage for MLB postseason, Ernie Johnson. Ernie, how are you?
Jimmy, life is good. Hope the same is true for you.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It could be better, but, you know, in these times, we'll take what we can get. It's crazy. From a sports fan perspective, life is very good. I mean, we've had all these games, you know, after a big drought there in the summer. And, you went right from the NBA to MLB. I guess no downtime in between, right?
Oh, it was a pretty quick turnaround. Fortunately, there were a few days that I had a chance to really ramp up. But, you know, when you have overlapping seasons and you see it coming down the road, then you're able to do a lot of double dip, and you're working on baseball stuff while you're working on the NBA playoffs. And then when it cranks up, you're ready to go.
We get a nice long vacation once the ALCS wraps up.
It's looking that way. I mean, based on Adam Silver saying that, no NBA season until at least January, you know, he said it would start in 2021. Right. That's the last I heard from him. So, yeah, we'll have a little time here to decompress and hug on grandkids and that kind of thing.
That's always good. How many grandkids? I know you have six kids. How many grandkids do you have?
Four.
Wow.
And it's tremendous. And the oldest one is in a softball league, a six and under softball league. And so going to those games and just, sitting in the, everybody's kind of distant and, you're sitting in the lawn chair and watching these, six and under girls running around the field. And it's, that's a real joy.
Do the grandkid, you said you have one that's six.
Five. Yeah. She's five. A six and under league. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, do they ever watch you on television and get a kick out of seeing grandpa on TV?
Can they understand
what's going on with the sports? Are they too young?
I think they're probably too young to understand what the sports are, but it is strange for them. And I'll get, my daughter and my son will both text me moments when, they're watching a game and they look over and, hey, there's Poppy, and they don't know why he's there. But it was funny when I was early on in my, in my marriage, when we had two small kids, it was like my daughter Maggie, came home from school one day and said, you know what's crazy? Brandy's father is not on TV. she thought everybody did that for a living. So
that's great.
It's pretty cool.
So speaking of being on TV, you're doing the studio for TBS with the ALCS. You called games in the past during the MLB playoffs. Do you have a preference? How come back in the studio this year?
I think the folks at Turner called me a month ago or so and said, hey, look, we're going to change things up. And, are you cool if we do this? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. I think, Jimmy, my comfort zone is in the studio, my true comfort zone. I mean, that's what I've been doing. Yeah. What was special about doing play-by-play on baseball is that it's what my dad did for, 35 years, doing Braves games. And so it was kind of, in the opportunity in those 10 years to do the playoffs was just a touch point from me to him. You know, I lost him in 2011. And so it was always, it was a special part, was to just say, hey, I'm doing what my dad did for so long. But I think, you know, I had no objections to going back to the studio. I love being in here. I love working with Grandy and Pedro and Jimmy. And I think, in all honesty, that's, I'm better at that than I am at play by play.
Was it ever strange to you? Because I've talked about this with all of the play by play people who I've had on the podcast, Joe Buck and Al Michaels and et cetera. No matter who you are as a play-by-play, whether you're good or not is irrelevant. If you're a play-by-play person, especially when you do standalone games, you're going to get heat from Twitter and other people as well. The only person who's never gotten heat, I think, is Vin Scully in the history of sports broadcasting. But you are so beloved on Inside the NBA. Did you ever get feedback for the baseball stuff that maybe wasn't nice? And was it strange to you? Because Inside the NBA, you get no negative feedback because everyone loves that show. No, it's gotta be a little jarring.
No, you'd be surprised. You do still get some negative feedback on Inside the NBA.
Really?
Just because, you know.
Those aren't real people who are watching. Those are people who just wanna...
it's minimal. I do think, yeah. You know, people love the show and they love, you know, what we've got going on there. But I learned something, Jimmy, and it's, you know, because early on it would hurt. And I don't think I realized the depth of that, of the social media on baseball till you start doing postseason games. And look, I realized that people, nobody is immune from criticism. That's one of the things I learned from my dad. I mean, My dad used to get some, you know, and my dad was the kindest, gentlest man in the world and was such a great listen for so many years, but he would still get mail. And, you know, this is way back in the day when you actually had to get a letter opener and open the envelope and then read this vitriolic stuff about, you know, people who didn't like him. And so
it's funny you say that because people think Twitter is so bad now, but it's so easy to fire off a sentence on your phone. I mean, think about the derangement of the person who would write the letter, pen and paper, put it in an envelope, get a stamp, put it in the mail.
Very legibly and really well thought out. Like, wow, 3 pages of this and why this guy hates you calling games. But for me, you'd realize that. And because I was so tied to the NBA studio, I think of my TV identity, you know, I got a lot of that. Hey, stick to basketball. Hey, you shouldn't be doing baseball. I mean, there was a lot of mean stuff, you know, but then, you know, and I felt as the years went by, there was more of an acceptance. And then people would say, well, you know, I kind of, you know, cause amidst the negatives, you'd still get folks that, you know, hey, I like you calling games. I like the way you and Ron work. I like the way you and Cal work. That's great. But you know, you realize that, and what you also realize, and that's, you know, it always surprised me. You know, I think, you know, Joe Buck is a great, great play-by-play man, no matter what sport he's doing, you know, and then, you know, you'd be, you know, our year'd be done. You'd be watching the World Series and, you know, you'd be on, you know, checking your thing and say, how can all these, you know, how can people be saying this about Joe? You know, he's excellent. Right. And what I came to learn, in those years of doing playoff baseball was that a lot of times it went with how your team was doing in the series, you know? And so, you know, if your team was down 3-1, man, I hate you, man, you're the worst. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. Right. And in one of the most difficult series I ever had to do, Jimmy, was the Braves and Dodgers a few years back. I don't know if it was 15 or so, somewhere around there. And the Braves and Dodgers are playing. And, you know, I basically grew up in Atlanta. My dad, you know, was the voice of the Braves for years and years and years. And so there was like this already built in, well, he's going to be pulling for the Braves.
Right.
This is not going to be fair. And I even had an interview before the series began with an LA sports writer. And he was asking me those very same things. Hey, your dad's association, you know, I said, look, I'm a professional. I said, I've always tried to play it right down the middle. I don't care who wins. I just want compelling stories. I want a great series. I want people during the day when they were at work saying, man, I can't wait to get home and watch the game. And what was amazing is that, and I weaned myself off of, you know, when I first started, I would check Twitter all the time. Oof, what are they
big
saying?
Mistake. Big
and
mistake.
It is. It's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so I would, and then, because I like to share with folks about, hey, wasn't that a great game? Or, hey, you know, and you were almost afraid to go on. And then you wouldn't want to go on Twitter and get into any exchanges with anybody. And so I would just kind of ignore that. But it was amazing because I had Braves fans who were accusing me of being a Dodger rooter.
That's tremendous.
And some of it was really mean-spirited and hurt because they'd say, your dad would be ashamed of you. You know, you should be doing this for the Braves. And how long have you been dating Yasiel Puig? You know, and stuff like that. Yeah. And so it was very strange. And then you'd get Dodger fans saying, well, obviously your Atlanta bias is showing. Right. So what I took from all of that was, I think I'm doing okay because I'm getting it from both sides who think I'm rooting for the other guy. And nothing could be further from the truth. All you want is a compelling series with great moments. And thankfully I was able to be part of a lot of those in those 10 years. And that was really fun to be part of.
Sport. It's just one of those things that, like, sports fans just don't want to believe that announcers are not rooting. They just don't. It's, you know, I feel like, you know, we go through this with every sort of, you know, people think Joe Buck's rooting for the Cardinals.
You got more excited on that home run than you did on our home run. And it was like, your home run made this game 8-1. Okay. You know, and this guy's broke the tie, you know? So, but you know, where would we be without the fans? So I'm not saying that, that I resent any of that stuff. I just know it comes with the territory. You just got to be able to handle it.
Yeah. So as I said, you're doing the studio for the ALCS on TBS. I'm curious because obviously you do that other famous studio show. Is it a challenge to go from inside the NBA to then doing the baseball for you? Or is it you're hosting and that's just the way it is and you know what you're doing?
No, I think the bottom line on it is you're trying to get your analysts to shine and put them in a position where they can do their best stuff. And whether that's the NBA show or whether that's MLB, that's what you're trying to do. I think the only adjustment you make is to how do these guys, how do they like to work? Do they like to be questioned and then throw out their answer? Do you need to call on them? Or is it like our show, which is a stake and free for all, that NBA show? You know, sometimes I say, hey, welcome, I'm Ernie Johnson and these are the guys. And then I'm lucky to get another word in some nights because, you know, Shaq is threatening Charles and, you know, Kenny is stirring it up. And there's such a wild give and take some nights. And so I think the only thing that you do when you switch over and you're working with three guys you really haven't worked with in a studio is kind of learning how they like to operate. And, you know, and we have conversations all the time and I'll say, look, you know, guys, don't feel like you got to be, you know, you got to wait to be called on. You know, like the NBA show, I'm trying to give everybody their touches. You know, I'm not going to start every segment talking to Jimmy and then hope, you know, I like to, you know, spread it around. Okay, Pedro, you know, you take this one first. And so that's what you're trying to do. And I think these guys all get it.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, they know that it's a conversation and that if Jimmy says something, I don't have to ask Curtis. Curtis will jump right on what Jimmy said. And I think the great thing about all three of those guys, like our show, is that you don't have to prep them beforehand to say, I'm going to be asking you this and then I'm going to be asking you this. It's like, we're just going to let it rip. Yeah. You know, and so I think that lends to really good conversation and kind of good, you're in the living room watching a game and talking and nobody's asking for permission to talk. And I think that's what makes it work.
If you don't mind maybe giving us a little behind the scenes and spilling the beans on something, I'm curious because you said it's about for you knowing what each guy wants, whether he wants to be questioned, so what do you know, like what does Charles want, what does Kenny want, what does Shaq want?
You know, they just all want me to shut up so they can talk. That's what they want.
Sounds now, about right.
You know what, the first show we ever did on the Inside the NBA, when Charles joined and it was me and Kenny, They came out for halftime. And as always, that's like with a minute to go before we go on the air, because we don't rehearse the show. It's spontaneous. But Charles had asked Kenny, as in the commercial breaks, and so what are you going to say about whatever game we were doing? What are you going to say about this? And Kenny said, you'll find out. And that really set the tone for the way the show would go for, you know, Chuck's been there for 20 years now. Kenny is a little over 20. I've been there for 30 and Shaq for the last eight. But that's the way we've always done it. And a lot of the credit goes to, you know, Tim Kiley, our producer, was the guy who really kind of molded that show and just wanted it to be that kind of way. So we weren't going to sit down there 15 minutes before air and say, okay, let's go over segment two. You're going to say this, Kenny, you're going to laugh about it. I'm going to throw this in. And I don't have a clue where the thing's going to go. I mean, there've been so many nights when we've come on the air and I'm ready to launch into a conversation about the Clippers and the Lakers. And Charles says, man, I got three things I got to get off my chest. And boom, all of a sudden the show takes a different direction. But that's great. And yeah, I think
that's what people love.
For viewers at home, it's like, yeah, they're like, wow, what's going to happen next here? And I'm sitting in that chair saying, man, what's going to happen next here? It's the same thing.
Right. Obviously, you guys were not in the bubble, but you were in the studio. But how much of a challenge was doing the show once the league restarted again? During the pandemic,
those Zoom shows were not easy. It looks like, you're just going to be doing the same thing you're doing. But technologically, as good as Zoom and things like that have been, and some of the equipment that they set up in my basement, which was more than Zoom. I mean, this was a studio camera and lights and the whole bit. But there would be a delay, and that really kills a show like Inside the NBA that is so freewheeling and guys jumping on what somebody says, because somebody would start making a point, but there was a second and a half, 2 second delay. And then everybody would stop talking and then everybody would start talking again. And then it was tough to follow and kind of killed the flow. But when we got back in the studio with the plexiglass and the four of us together, and we had this, this desk that was about 6 miles long. I thank Warner Media and Turner for doing that, for making sure that we were going to feel comfortable, cause everybody around here is masked up and we've done everything, everybody's been distant. We've had, research guys who would just used to be, Joe Underhill would come out and hand you stuff and all that was over. We were doing things in a different way, but it felt so good, Jimmy, just to look across and see Kenny eye to eye and look down at Chuck, and so going back into the studio for the playoffs was, you think about the things that you take for granted. And that was one of them, it really is good to be back with you guys.
Obviously there was a lot made the one show when Kenny walked out, and Charles has said since he didn't appreciate that. He wished he was given a heads up. How did you feel about that? Looking back now, I mean, are you like Charles, where you wish you had a heads up, or you were fine with what Kenny did?
I was fine with it. And Kenny had his reason to do it, and that's fine. It didn't bother me. I think all I said when, as I kind of watched him do that, and I said, I respect that.
Yeah.
Now, if Shaq and Charles had gotten up too, then I'm sitting around, I'm the only non-player, and I'm saying, okay, because what I think is that was a statement that Kenny was making.
Right.
And I appreciate that. At the same time, the input that Shaq and Charles had on the rest of that show and Chris Webber, I think, is valuable to be there and to voice those. So Kenny voiced his by saying, look, I don't want to be part of this tonight. And the other guys voiced theirs by saying, I think what I have to say is valuable. So it's, whatever approach that they had, but I didn't have an issue with Kenny doing that.
The one word we have not mentioned here so far, but it's obviously what the show's all about, is chemistry. I'm curious, what is your relationship like off the air with the guys? Are you guys in communication a lot, group text? Is it just you show up and the lights go on, the chemistry's there, you guys roll? Or are there relationships off air as well?
No, I despise them. It is great. There are a lot of group texts and there, and then there are separate texts and we kind of, you know, we keep in touch, you know, and I'm like, you know, hey, Chuck, I got Georgia. I'll give you the points against Auburn.
Oh, you know. Chuck likes those texts. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, he loves them. Well, I really like this year's. That was good because Georgia beat Auburn again. But no, there is, you know, we check in on each other occasionally. And, you know, I think some people get the impression that, you know, we're all joined at the hip and that if you see one in a place, the other three must be around there too. But we all have lives and we all have things going on. And you know, Shaq's got a million business things going on. You know, Chuckster's on the golf course. I've got things going on at home that I've got to tend to. So, no, we all keep in touch and we all, I've said it before, I grew up with two older sisters. This is as close as I'll ever come to having brothers. And that's, and I appreciate every day the fact that in a business, Jimmy, where turnover is seen as a requirement that, we need to freshen that up. We need to change this up. We need to put this guy with this guy that we've had, the staying power and the longevity we've had where any one of us would do anything in the world for anybody else on that show.
Well, the show has 11 Emmys and you have six. So,
I got five.
Oh, then Wikipedia is wrong. I'm blaming Wikipedia. Do you care about those things or it's, you know, not a big deal to you?
It's certainly not why you do it. And I think every year that I've won that, I've said this could have gone to anybody in this group because we all are so lucky to be doing this. If you would have told me, you know, when you start out in local TV and then you're going from Macon, Georgia to Spartanburg, South Carolina, and then to Atlanta, and these are all stays of, you know, like a couple of years in Macon, a year in Spartanburg, 6-7 years at WSB in Atlanta, I never put it in terms of, okay, where's the place I'm going to spend 30 years, you know? And all of a sudden, you know, when I started at Turner, I didn't know where that would take me. I just knew it was a national stage now. And, you know, and it was, you know, it was, it's been a wonderful ride. And so you don't do it thinking, well, boy, I hope I get the Emmy. I hope I get this. I think when you start thinking in those terms, it's really dangerous and it makes you really me-centered. Yeah. And you're saying, what can I do for me and not what's going to make the show better? I think those Emmys come as a result of just a really great team effort by everybody and the fact that people like the show.
So like I said, 11 Emmys and we mentioned the chemistry, but I'm curious, Charles has had his fill of controversy. I think some of it funny, some of it stupid, some of it not, you know, the fat women in San Antonio or whatever, and a couple of other things along the way. But have you, and it doesn't have to be for one of the controversies, quote unquote, but have you ever gotten mad at Chuck or thought he's gone too far, did something on this set or said something that you were like, okay, let's pump the brakes on that one?
Well, I mean, the night he ripped up my notes.
Was that live on the air? I don't remember that for some reason.
Oh, this was in a commercial break, Jimmy.
That's even worse.
We're doing the conference finals remotely, so we're at the arena.
Right.
And this was several years ago. And I think Magic was on the show that night, me and Magic, Kenny and Chuck. And look, they come up with a format for the show, you know, with the elements that we have, and it's a bunch of pages long. So I always whittle that down onto index cards that are like this size.
Right.
And so there's one from last night's show that just has the elements right there that, okay, we're doing a game four promo. Pedro's got a breakdown. Jimmy's got a breakdown. Curtis has a breakdown.
But stuff you need to know.
Yeah. It's just like the roadmap for the show. Right. And then in there, I'll jot down a few things like, okay, his batting average was this, or, you know, something about a player. And so I had those, you know, in front of me as I always do going through a show. And Kenny said something like, I dare you to rip up his cards. And this was in the commercial break. And I thought they were just messing around. Right. And he says, "Oh, really? I dare you." And Charles said, "Really?" And I'm kind of listening, like, is he really going to do this? And then he reaches over on the table and rips him in half. And look, Chuck could destroy me, but I felt like swinging on him. And because to me in that moment, it was like, they don't respect what I do. And then, you know, this is years and years ago. I said, they have no respect for the work I've done to get for this show so that I can try to make them look great.
Right.
And so we came back from commercial break live and I'm steaming. I mean, I asked, you know, Kenny a question, you know, he can boom, boom, boom. And, you know, Charles about to jump in. I went over to Magic. And so Magic, what's the thing? And, you know, and so Magic starts talking. So I just ignored him. I didn't let Charles in that segment. It was like, I just froze him out. And we had a talk later. And Kenny since has a couple of times said, "Hey, I bet you, no, I'm never going to do that." So I think we kind of had an understanding there, but that's about the only time I've ever had an issue.
So Chuck understood where you were coming from and why you'd be so pissed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And he said before, I didn't realize that was so important to him. Yeah. And I said, this is what I do. You know, I said, you guys are the players. I'm the guy who went to school to learn broadcasting. Okay. And this is how I do my job. So don't do that to me.
Yeah. That's pretty great. I know we have to wrap, but I mean, we're less than 3 weeks away from an election. So I've got to bring this up only because it was such a big deal in 2016. You must be happy you're not going to be on the air during the election. Obviously, the circumstances you don't like, you're not on the air because the schedule is all messed up because of COVID. But after what happened in 2016, you must be happy to say, you know, I'll sit this one out, I would assume.
No, I didn't.
No?
No, I mean, all I did in 2016 was tell folks how I processed what was the election, you know, and I process everything through the lens of my faith, you know, that I said, this is not going to destroy my world. I said, I couldn't vote for Donald Trump. And so I had issues with Trump and I had issues with Hillary, and going into that election, it was like, remember all the polls were, okay, Hillary's going to win this thing going away.
Right.
You know? And so, So when I wrote in John Kasich, it was like, look, I'm not going to support either of these two people.
Right.
If I thought, you know, as in retrospect, if I thought, hey, this is coming down to my vote right here. And if I paid attention to everything and they said that this thing is a toss up.
Right.
I would have voted for Hillary Clinton,
right?
Because I couldn't vote for Donald Trump,
right?
And so it was really a statement of my faith, and it was a statement I think was reflecting what a lot of people were thinking at the time. Because look, if you talk to our social media bunch, I mean, that was the most reacted to thing on social that we've ever had at Turner at the time.
Right.
I mean, there were 15 million views on Facebook of what I had to say about the election, and the overwhelming amount of it was positive and supportive, you know, but I don't regret saying any of that.
Well, this would be my question, because so when I was doing the research for this, I had remembered you said something and I remember it being a thing. So I went back and I watched it. And the only thing that I found interesting what I found a little surprising in rewatching was that you openly said that you had voted for Kasich, which is, you know, broadcasters on TV usually don't go there. So if this was a regular season and you were on the air, you know, in the first week of November, would you again reveal who you voted for?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, because I think I put my, because I put myself, and again, that went with my reasoning in 2016 was, look, I feel like we were dealt a bad hand with the candidates that we have. Okay. And so, you know, and if somebody is saying at home, well, then who'd you vote for? If you don't say it, then it's like, well, what are you trying to hide? You know? And so I had nothing to hide there, Jimmy. It was, look, this is who I am and this is how I process it. And I realized that at any time, in a 2 minute segment that I had, that when you mention Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and Jesus in the same sentence, People are going to talk. Okay. And so I have no regrets about that. And I know that, look, there are people out there who said, oh, you know, but by not voting for Hillary, you actually voted for Trump. No. And I've looked at it and I said, look, in the state of Georgia, where I am, if I had voted for Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump would still have won the state of Georgia. Right. And if they say, well, it's people who thought like you, if there were that many people thinking like I thought, like they're dissatisfied with the choices here, then that speaks much more than just who I voted for. It speaks to a general disappointment by the voting public with the choices that they have. Yeah. So,
well, I think it's great Turner lets you go there, because I think a lot of networks would be scared out of their wits. So I give Turner a lot of credit.
They probably were in the course of that 2 minutes that I had, but as it turns out, it was funny a couple of days later, because my wife and I are sitting there at the breakfast table on Saturday morning, and we're looking at Facebook, and she said, "Man, you got 15 million views on that thing." I said, "That was never my intent. My intent was that wow, what a surprising election, and this is how I process it."
Right. So, when I watched it again this morning, it looked like you were trying to have some sort of calming effect on what was going on in the country, and.
Yeah, Jimmy, because I was saying, look, no matter who the president is, it's up to us to make this country what it is. You know, it's up to me, you know, as I said that night, to be a fountain and not a drain. And what can I do to be a better person and be a better American and make the world a better place? So let's not lose the fact that we all have that responsibility. And I think that's, you know, there were a few layers to that message, besides people who just latched on to, boy, this guy voted for Kasich.
Right. Well, now that you admitted that you would reveal who you voted for this year, I'm bummed you guys are not going to be on the air, because I would like to see how that whole goes down. But, you know,
no, I mean, we didn't say this before the election. It wasn't like we got on and said, hey, you need to vote for this. You know, we weren't telling people how to vote or who to vote for. We were, we were talking about, in retrospect, 2 days later, who we did vote for.
I know we got to wrap, but I should also say good job by your colleague Shaq there voting for the first time this year. He revealed that last week. Yeah. And, you know, that's what we need. That's it.
Without question. And I'm sitting down here and I'm looking at video of, I live in Gwinnett County down here in Georgia, and I'm looking at the video the other day. You got massive lines and everything else. This is going to be so interesting to watch. Jimmy, I have no idea how long it will be from election night to when we know who the president is.
I better not go there. I don't want to get you entangled in this, but I don't think he's ever going to leave, whether he wins or loses, until someone forcibly gets him out. So it will be interesting. I'll just say that. I appreciate you coming on and getting into this with me here at the end. But like I said, it's less than 3 weeks away. So I had to bring that up. So I appreciate the honesty.
Sure. And no problem.
I'm a huge fan of the show. I can't thank you. You provide me with so much content for my daily column. So I thank you guys and enjoy the time off after the ALCS. I guess your last game working would be Saturday if it goes. The Astros are struggling right now. Yeah. The Altuve thing is interesting, man. Relishing in that, that's different. When they got the yips like that, that's a whole different thing than just someone slumping. Like I don't like the karma angle on that at all. It feels weird.
It's amazing to see. And it's crazy. And, I started thinking about, remember Steve Sachs with the Dodgers years and years ago, when he couldn't make a throw. And the shortest throw in the infield, and he couldn't make it. And I remember Pedro Guerrero, when he was with the Dodgers playing third base at that time, when Sachs was playing second, and they said, "Hey, what are you thinking in a big tight spot in a ball game?" And he said, "Don't hit it to me and don't hit it to Sachs."
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of the ACS, and hopefully we see you, Chuck, and Shaq and Kenny in January.
Count on it.
Great. All right. Take care. Thanks for doing this.
Appreciate you.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye. Okay. My thanks to Ernie Johnson. Enjoy talking to him a lot. Looking forward to Inside the NBA coming back in normal circumstances, hopefully. We'll see what happens. If you've missed any past episodes of the SI Media podcast, make sure you go into the archives and check them out. We had Jim Miller on last week to talk about sports media news, NFL, ESPN, and TV rating stuff. So check that out. 2 weeks ago, Al Michaels. 3 weeks ago, Dan Patrick. 4 weeks ago, Kevin Harlan. All in the archives. So give it a listen, download, subscribe, rate, and review. I appreciate it. And that wraps up this episode. We'll see you next week right here on the SI Media podcast. Take care.